Hello, everyone.
Hello,
everybody.
Welcome to Three Bean Salad, the podcast where we talk about a topic sent in by you, the audience. But first, we have a little catch-up. How have we all been?
That was really breezy. I liked it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was light.
It felt too live radio. That didn't feel pod enough.
It was good, and amazingly, even though that was the 37th take, it sounded the most natural.
I think we've got it, guys. I think we
finally got it, guys.
That's a wrap on Henry. Thank you.
Yeah, that's... Because it was way too breezy initially, then it was zero breeze, then it was like a it was like the inside of a vault. That was the note you gave me, Mike, wasn't it? You said that sounded like the inside of a fucking vault.
Get some breeze in there.
In which an evil king is keeping turds.
Keeping turds. Dried out, desiccated turds of his ancestors.
Hmm.
Yeah? That's how not fresh that sounded. Yeah? Ancestral turds. Yeah? Blogging to a sort of a powerful dynasty as well, so socially evil. Desiccated old turds.
Dynasty that in and of itself is past its prime as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And hasn't had any fresh ideas for centuries.
Yeah.
And is deep into inbreeding at this stage.
That's why a lot of those turds were weird shapes. There was a Mobius, wasn't there? There was a Mobius turd, which I'm still marvelling at. It just hovered. Yeah, that was the vibe, wasn't it? And you know what? You know what's happened there? I've tried, for my sins... I've tried to give us a kind of normal, you know, accessible intro that everyone can get.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up turning it into an absolutely obscene, really weird.
Welcome to newcomers who've perhaps never listened to the show. So they've got a purchase point to understand what they're listening to.
Yeah. Maybe the whole family's in the car.
Yeah. Let's give this a shot.
Let's give this a shot.
It's probably a bit of whimsical fun, isn't it?
Turn it off, Barbara. Turn it off. Put it to the hard shoulder. We're leaving the car. We're leaving the car where it is. Leave your rucksacks. We're just going.
How do they know about our vault of turds?
It's too close to the bone.
Stuff your jumper into the petrol cap and light it, and we're off. Go now.
We're doing a Molotov Hyundai i10.
And now we'll do the chant. Hyundai, Hyundai goodbye, Hyundai why, we'll never, never nigh.
And then boom.
Ah, good stuff.
Lovely stuff.
So yeah, nice relatable start. Thank you.
Nice relatable start.
Yeah.
Hook them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're just little an Ewok on its back now, isn't it? It's just tickle its tummy.
I've got potentially quite a relatable bit of chat fuel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, lovely.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a go.
With a bit of a blue edge for the mums and dads?
No blue.
Okay.
No blue.
I can try and inject blue.
Let's see how it goes. We can dunk it in some blue sauce if we think it's not crispy enough as it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, the other day, I realised I've never washed my windows. This is good podcasting. So I realised that I'd never given my windows a clean. I'd never got anyone else to clean the windows.
Hmm.
And I'd never really given them much sort of critical...
Is this inside and out?
Yeah. Since I moved in. So I've lived here probably, how long? 2.5 years?
Too long. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, cleaning windows. It's like you can either... It's a bit like teeth, I suppose. You can either... You can see the hygienist like every 6 months.
Or you can live in pain.
Or you... Yeah, or you can live in rancid, really, really malodorous pain.
I think you need to blame your local community, because I think what is supposed to happen is you're supposed to inherit a window cleaner. I have never sought a window cleaner in all my days.
Yes, it is handed over, isn't it?
Mm.
Really?
Yeah.
They've always just appeared and say, by the way,
we do the windows.
I clean your windows, okay?
No, that's it. It goes with the property. And also they hand it down generation to generation so that person's father would have been a window cleaner. And that's it's an initial way of monitoring social history, because generation by generation, they've become less lewd, haven't they? So in the 70s, all the window cleaners were just full on lewd. The whole thing was just, oh, don't mind if I do. Oh, nipples ahoy. Oh, that kind of thing. That's all they would say. It was just pure lewd banter.
Uh-oh.
Lewd content warning. Lewd content. Hey, hey, hey. These days you have to close your windows when they come so that water doesn't get in. But in the 70s, it was so they wouldn't slip a dick on your windowsill.
Exactly. Which is something they would do.
Yeah.
They actually only introduced non-penile...
Squeegees.
Squeegees in the early 80s. I can't believe this content is really... Come on, this is not good enough, this content.
It's a really, really nasty start.
But it's nice. But actually, now, it's the opposite, because now they've become less and less lewd every generation, more and more enlightened. So now they'll actually say things like, you know what? Instead of me looking in, they'll offer you the option you can actually look out and watch me having sex on this little...
On a gantry?
On this little gantry. That's went too far the other way. That was a few years ago. Now they've evened it out as...
Yeah. And they'll ask you, how are you, really?
Yeah. Yes, that's right. That's how it goes now.
Mm.
But it is a... it's quite a kind of... because, you know, if the eyes are the windows of the soul... Then the glasses are the windows.
The glasses? The glasses of the house?
One of the glasses of the
face.
Have
you got prescription windows on your house?
That's so good. I've actually got there, actually...
Polaroid for extra bright days for the low window sun?
Polarized, and I've got them, the sort of trifected, what's it called again? They're very focal. So I can read a book as long as the book's outside the house and I'm inside.
And to scale.
And to scale. So I can put back and prop a book in the little flat in the flower pot. Read that from the inside. No, if the eyes are the windows of the soul, then the glasses are the double glazing, essentially, aren't they? On the windows, they're the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Right, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So what does that make the windows of the house?
Ooh. And where do drapes come in?
Where the drapes come in?
Pelmets.
It's all good stuff, isn't it? No, but it's quite an intimate thing, isn't it? Because a window cleaner is looking into your home.
Mm. Well, not anymore. So this is what I was going to come on to.
Okay, go on.
So I looked at my windows. I thought, oh, they're probably a bit grimy, aren't they? But I'd never actually looked at them. Do you need to look at something with fresh eyes?
Yeah, but you shouldn't. In a way, you shouldn't really be able to look at them. You should be looking through them. That's the ideal.
Well, that's my problem, because they were caked in shite.
So this is human shite on the inside and avian shite on the outside, is it?
100% avian shite in and out.
Avian, and there's it's 99.9, and the other bit is sort of protesters, isn't it? People who hurl their own.
That's right.
Is drive by protesters.
You do get a couple of those a year, don't you?
Yeah, lots and lots of bird shit on them.
Mm.
But sideways, or have you got upwards windows?
What do you mean sideways?
Well, how's the bird normally poops vertically, doesn't it, rather than horizontally?
Yeah, but they're normally moving, so it's got momentum.
Mm.
It's like when you drop a bomb; it kind of keeps going.
So it's a bit
These are finned bird turds.
Okay, yeah. So yeah. It's a bit like the.
And they've written on the side like this one's for Pearl Harbor. It is a mystery because I was looking around, right, and none of the other houses on my street have this. But it looks like a bird has made a concerted effort to kind of...
It will be targeted, Ben.
It will be targeted. Are you on a community WhatsApp?
No, we've got a Facebook group.
Yeah, okay. You are on a community WhatsApp. You're just not hot on it.
Yes, that's the thing, Ben. Yes, yeah. You're either on it or you're on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're either at the menu or you're standing outside the tent pissing through the window onto the menu.
You're the guy with the shit-caked house.
Yeah.
When is he going to do something about it?
Yeah. Because obviously, Ben, in terms of insulation, if you were to allow it to carry on for another couple of years, you could effectively be living in a poo-glue, which wouldn't need any heating.
And maybe the future.
It could be a poo-glue future, Ben, for all of us.
It'd be the subject of a BBC 4 documentary.
You could be at the front of that wave.
Anyway, I thought, I need to get this cleaned. Now, this is what I wanted to ask you both, especially Mike, because I feel like Henry lives in some flats where somebody else might deal with the clean.
My problem is I live in a serviced apartment
where
they... clean them all the time to a degree that is completely unnecessary and is clearly a racket. Right. They're cleaning them all the time. Yeah. I just don't need them to be that clean.
Yeah, so you basically always got a man hovering outside your window.
There's always a man hovering outside
equipment.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really military.
Reading over your shoulder.
Cruise. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite disturbing. Saying, I think probably 3.5 minutes on the poach, Henry. 3.5 I'd go for, because I know that you like it soft as the bread goes in. Yeah, have a nice day. There's that kind of thing. But they've got mega mops. They've got literally, I'm not even exaggerating, they've literally got mega mops. Mm. And they're telescopic. They've got telescopic mega mops.
Yeah. Well, this is what I wanted to ask about, because Mike, you live in a more similar situation to me.
Yeah.
House on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You need to get someone to do it.
Yeah.
In my day, a window cleaner was just a bloke.
Yeah.
Who had a ladder.
Yeah, and fancied your partner. Yeah. And essentially, they were trying to get in. The feeling was they were trying to get in through the window, essentially, wasn't it? That was the feeling. Or make it as clean as possible so they could see your partner, who in the 70s, obviously, most families in the country in the 70s were mustachioed bald man with a top hat.
Mm-hmm.
or bowler hat?
Bowler hat is what I meant, sorry. Yeah. A star-shaped bald man with a bowler hat.
Yeah.
But a wife who is sort of bedecked, like sort of huge head, this incredibly glamorous kind of a wife who spent about 3 hours in makeup with a kind of huge bouffant hair.
But from the neck down, it's just a teddy and some fluffy slippers.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
what the government wanted us to do.
But there was resistance.
And a cocktail. a cocktail in one hand. Instead of a bedside table, isn't it, in the 70s, each bed had a little cocktail bar with a waiter, didn't it, on each side of the bed. And a really horribly thick carpet everywhere that was just utterly imbued with human cells. Thick carpet next to the toilet, thick carpet in the kitchen.
That was the utopia that they wanted for us.
But now it's different, isn't it?
Well, yeah, so I just thought it'd be a guy with some soapy water, right? Is that what you have, Mike?
They've upgraded recently, so that they're now the small van.
Yes.
With quite a lot of kit in the back, pressurized hose, very long mega mop for the to reach, you know, a couple of the taller houses, or the houses perhaps have got an attic conversion with a Velux, they can reach those guys, no problem.
So this is what I got.
Yeah.
And I understand it because it means you don't have to go up a ladder, and I imagine the death rate will have come down quite highly.
Because of the mega mop.
But so he gets out the mega mop, which, by the way, just uses water, no soap, which I don't really understand.
Yeah.
And it's a much more professional situation. I'm thinking this is going to be spendy. He starts getting all his kit out and then starts talking terms. I've got to sign up for he has to come back every 8 weeks. I've got to sign up for that. There's no...
Yeah. Oh, such bullshit.
There's no option.
I disagree. They know. They understand. I absolutely sign up to this stuff.
Why do you agree with it?
Because, for a start, they're good. The guys that come to us, they're good. I trust them. And however often they come, I've got no idea they just come, but when they come, it is the right time.
Then, Mike, you're being completely fleeced.
I'm not being fleeced. I can see out of my windows.
And you're doing the male thing, I think, which I do. I mean, I sometimes get into this relationship with people, which is I'm being fleeced, but if I pretend I'm not being fleeced, I can sort of save face to myself and to my loved ones. And also, I don't have to go through the embarrassment of telling the person that they're fleecing them or saying no. Because it's like the Geordie men who sell fish door to door. Have we talked about those?
No.
have either of you come across this?
No one has ever tried to sell me a fish at the door.
I actually do have a vague memory of being a child and my mum talking to these guys at the door.
And it's happened to my mother before. So this has happened to me before, which is you're having a normal day, the doorbell goes, you open the door, and there's an incredibly charming Geordie man going, "I've got loads and loads of hake."
and he's also Welsh, is he?
Yeah. He's educated in Wales.
"I've got haddock. I've got salmon. It's just me and my pal, and we're in the van, love. And we can give you incredible deals on mackerel, on cod."
I think the idea is that they've driven down that morning from the port side, right, with all the fresh fish.
I don't know if it's just mothers, but I think they do target mothers. It happened to my mother, Ben, it happened to your mother. It hasn't happened to Mike. Mike isn't a mother. I think they target mothers, and they've got this way about them. They're a bit like a character from a fairy tale, Frank.
Rumpelfishkin.
They're a bit Rumpelfishkin. Because your mum is always, she'll be rosy cheeked. She'll be like, "Oh, what are you talking about, Henry? He's a charming man. It's just him and his pal." And they've had a crazy night out. I'm not entirely sure what's happened, but they've ended up with thousands of fish in the back of the van. It's come to anyone. And they just need a bit of a hand, you know, moving these fish on. And they just suck you into their web of stuff. So the only solution, unfortunately, is to be incredibly rude.
Or buy a whole salmon.
Yeah, a huge amount of fish. Wait, because what happens is they go and you're like, "Hang on a minute, I've got like an industrial amount of fish suddenly clogging up my hall. Why has this happened?"
And I spent £300.
So you've got to be careful with these people.
This is a good email topic. Have you fallen victim to a pushy Geordie fish salesman? Do email in.
Yeah, do email in.
But when you say you've got to be careful with these people, I don't put the window cleaning team in.
Okay, and you're not putting in the same bracket.
No.
It sounds like they've properly romanced you, this window cleaning team.
Yeah.
Also, do you think that, you know, when people go past Mike's house and the windows are obviously so clean and transparent and shiny, that will attract a Geordie fishmonger, right? Because they'll see you as a mark.
They'll see the light glinting.
Yeah.
"Oh, there's another chump down the road." Wait, I reckon we... you know what, with this guy... I reckon with this guy, we don't even sell him an actual salmon, right? What we do is instead...
It's like all of the British Isles' accents at once.
I tell you what, you know that my niece does the odd drawing, right? I'm going to get my niece... Actually, fuck it, I won't even bother to get her to do it. I'm going to draw a picture of a fucking salmon on a bit of paper, right, Mum? I'm going to tell them it's like a new Super 2D salmon they've been evolving. See if that chump will buy it.
If anyone can geographically pinpoint exactly where Henry's last... little ejaculation came from, please get in touch.
You know what, with chumps that scale, I almost feel a little bit bad about what we're doing. But not really. Not when I see that stupid smile on his face with his tongue hung on to one end.
Your provincial accents often have quite a high register as well. Your vocal range is extraordinary. It's like a grand piano or Maya Carey.
I've got exceptional range. There's absolutely no doubt about it. I tell you, I really share it in my evil Geordie laugh. Oi, 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 man. Actually, what we might do with all this money we made from this guy is actually buy some actual fish for once. I've never actually tried it.
Yeah. Can you try and do a sort of bassy Geordie, or is that impossible?
Why are you the hell are you talking about, man? That'll be their boss. You've gone too far with this lad. You sold him a big biro and told him it was a new kind of a prawn. You've gone too far, lads.
The thing is, it sounds like Mike is happy with his window cleaning regime, and so he's not being fleeced, is he? He's just paying a price that he's willing to pay for a service that he's happy with.
I think if you're agreeing to every 8 weeks, you're being fleeced. And also, I think if you're buying fish off an uncredited Geordie from door to door that doesn't have a fish license, doesn't have a fisherman's beard.
We're back to the uncredited Geordie argument. Every debate.
Every single debate.
Eventually comes back to the Geordie uncredited Geordie with a bag full of fish.
That's mainly ham.
And ham is very slightly cheaper than fish, and that's the margin.
It's begun to smell of fish, so he's selling it as fish.
And you could argue that the pigs are tuners of the land. People do. What I'd say for the Geordie fish, just a little bit of advice: if you do get the Geordie fish, because this is a separate area, okay. Mm. My advice is, even if it feels rude, do not engage with the Geordie fishmonger. Do not engage, because as soon as you look into those Geordie eyes and you hear that lovely Geordie lilt. Mm. I got sardines, mon.
Yeah.
You get, they're so fucking charming. You get sucked in. So I've seen this happen to people, and I come into the hall and I go, close the door. We don't like fish. Don't look into his Geordie eyes. It's too late. Take her. She's lost to us now.
All right, let's turn on the beam machine.
Let's do it.
This week's topic is sent in by Joe from York.
Hello, Joe. Thank you.
Home to the Jorvik Viking Centre, which does not give out a Pompidou discount, though people have tried, is Budget Airlines.
This is an announcement to all travellers on the Beans Airlines flight to Lukewarm Bantu International. Boarding is now open at gate 23. Please make your way to the gate for a smooth and timely departure. Thank you.
Once I went to Toronto... Or we came back from Toronto, and it was purely just book the cheapest one that exists. So we didn't think about it. You just go, there's a list of them on the travel thing. It compares all the prices.
Yeah.
And we just clicked on it, bought it. And it was weirdly cheap.
Yeah.
And it turns out that it was a new company that had just started, fresh out of Latvia. And I can't remember what they were called. But basically, almost as soon as they started trading, they became insolvent, like within about 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
There was a period where this was happening, I think, quite a lot, wasn't it?
So we were in Canada and we got an email being like, sorry, so-and-so Airlines doesn't exist anymore. We were like, literally launched 2 weeks ago. What's going on?
The worst is when that happens mid-flight, which does happen.
It just disappears from under you.
Yeah, we're going to have to power it down, I'm afraid. And none of us work for the airline anymore. The pilot, we could try and re-employ the pilot as a freelance now, but the paperwork's going to take about 3 days. He's not actually allowed to fly it anymore. Cough up your lamb. Everyone, cough up your lamb. That lamb belongs to us. We're going to use that lamb.
We have to give that lamb to our creditors. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that lamb doesn't belong to... That lamb belongs to Omnibank. It's Omnibank's lamb. Cough it up. Forget everything that happened in Marley and Me. If you've watched Marley and Me, forget it. That experience belongs to Omnibank.
So their thing was, the company doesn't exist anymore, but we have, there is some sort of, you have some statutory right to be conveyed from Toronto to London. Mm.
In the hog transport.
On the back of an ass.
The annual Canada to Europe hog transport. The good thing about that, it's been in place for over 200 years.
You'll be driven across the sea by an angry swineherd.
And a boar that has been forced to learn to swim across the Atlantic.
So anyway, this company sort of ceased to exist, but did still exist in some form. I fully don't know the legal framework that we were entered into. Yeah. But they gave us two options. It was like, you either have your money back, or we can transport you back to Britain. Mm-hmm. But because it had been so cheap, the flight, it was like 240 quid to go from Toronto to London. And that's a return. If we got the money back, we wouldn't be able to afford, we couldn't use that to buy a new flight. We'd have to put more money in.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, no, I'll just take the, you will be transported.
Transport from Canada to Britain is worth more than 240 quid.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're canned.
Yeah. Unless you're canned or dehydrated. If you're powdered. Canned or powdered. Or if you've been pickled or biltonged.
Right.
If you're in a biltonged state. Because 90% of the human body is water, all that.
Mm-hmm. And then vacuum packed.
Yeah, and also the skin is the biggest organ in the body. That gets whipped off.
Get rid of that.
The head weighs a sixth of the body. The head's not involved. So there's almost nothing left when you biltong someone, except for lovely, lovely biltong. Which you can post over. Isn't it?
So,
but it's tricky.
I remember the whole thing with this company was that they were able to, when they were running, they were able to run the kind of planes that budget airlines use on a short-haul flight, all the way to North America, which you're not really normally meant to do because it's too far.
Right.
So the kind of small plane you'd get to go to, I don't know, Italy or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Were they going against the Earth's rotation? Because obviously that takes off.
Interesting. This is why you need someone like Henry involved in the repatriation process to work out whether or not you need to be slingshotted.
Yeah, you need a consultant in this situation.
In the opposite direction.
Sometimes it's quicker to just head north.
And use the magnet. Use the big magnet.
Use the big magnet on the North Pole.
To slingshot you around.
Yeah. So go up there. So just collect as many pots and pans as you can. They can be quite cheap. If you want a nice one, you want to get yourself a nice one anyway, get a nice one. But get as many pots and pans as you can. Walk to the North Pole.
Strap them to your body.
Wrap them in copper.
Yeah. Wrap them in copper wiring. That is expensive.
You can steal that from a church.
Steal that from a church. Yeah. Get yourself up to the North Pole. No, but in all seriousness, if you walk straight up to the North Pole, so then that's essentially this.
Henry's showing us a diagram.
Audio medium.
Not great podcasting.
Audio medium.
So you go straight up to the North Pole, wait for the Earth to rotate till you're facing where your destination, then you just walk straight down again.
Using the world as a sort of slide.
Do you have to hover then while it's going round?
Yeah, we just jump up and down.
You just jump.
Why don't you just turn your body?
Big pardon?
Why don't you just turn around?
On the North Pole, you want to fucking set the Earth off its orbit, mate. Thanks a lot. Thanks, mate. Yeah, thanks for that.
Yeah, you can't be doing that. You need to think of yourself as like a ballerina in a little sort of music box.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you jump and then it rotates. Or walk round it and what's happened over a fortnight now? It takes 3 days. Why is that? It's because Ben Partridge went to the North Pole and started walking around. Oh, thanks, Ben. See you next Friday. Next Friday is now the last Thursday. It's already happened. Do you remember? We slagged off Ben for ruining everything. Oh, yeah. So you walk around, and then obviously that creates what's known as a bulbous triangle.
Stop referring to the diagram.
Then effectively, Pythagoras gets you home.
Okay.
So I'm a consultant you can talk to in these situations. So that is one option.
Yeah. Anyway, so the plane I remember this quite vividly. The plane we were meant to get home was called the Boeing A321neo, I think it was called.
Yeah. A332. Every element of that, the letter A, the 321, the Neo, it all very much sounds like it's either a prototype or a Lego model.
Yeah. Also, the A321 is clearly a road, which isn't very encouraging.
Actually, the A stands for Airbus, so it's not Boeing.
Okay.
It was the Airbus 321 Neo.
Yeah. We've got the bus bit covered. It's airing it that we're worrying about. Okay. Neo.
And the idea of this plane was it was a small plane that you'd normally get in a budget airline, but because it had extra fuel in it, it could go a bit further. It was a bit more...
unregulated.
No. It was a bit more like efficient, so you could go further in it.
And was this were you aware of this when you bought the tickets?
Yes, because then on their website, they were making a big deal. They bought two Airbus 321 Neos, but that had bankrupted the company, which had just started.
Right.
So that you were aware of this when you bought the tickets?
I was aware of the plane, because they made a big deal.
I'm sorry,
the plane.
Ben, if I'm buying air tickets to go somewhere,
yeah,
and the website is talking to me about the amount of petrol needed, and that we've worked out a kind of...
And that it will be fine. Normally these just go to Naples and no further, and even then they have to refuel in Marseille, but it's... We have done the sums, and as long as the prevailing wind, well, admittedly, that's normally, if it's in the right direction with the rotation of the Earth, you think it's going
to
be okay.
But these things tend to average out over the course of a year.
We have found a pilot who's willing to give it a go.
Exactly. And also, we wouldn't say this lightly. Don't worry, we've put it in the biggest font that we could. Well, we haven't actually bought the font, so it's cheaper. So we make our own fonts. But we do not say this lightly. Don't worry. And the other thing we don't do lightly is fly. We fly heavy because we put extra petrol on. But don't worry about that either. Also,
yeah. If you can bring a jerry can full of petrol, then you can get on half price.
Yeah, and you can meet the pilot. You're not actually allowed to meet the pilot because there's a restraining order on him. He's not allowed to meet people. But that's a completely different crime segment from aviation crime. He's caged. He's completely caged. There's nothing to worry about. He then has a parole officer who he directs to press the buttons as and when he wants. They're not strictly buttons, are they? They're sort of more rudimentary pulleys, isn't it? It's not. We couldn't afford buttons. But buttons are just surface, isn't it? It's not the buttons that matter on a laptop, for example. It's what goes on underneath the buttons, isn't it? The buttons are just an interface. And we've saved money on things like interface. And we're sharing that saving with you.
Instead, we've got bicycle gears.
We've got bicycle gears. Also, a dynamo, which provides... a reading light
for the co-pilot, because he gets quite bored of the whole thing, because he doesn't know what he's doing, so he's untrained.
Also, we can't afford films, but we do have an Amdram production of Coriolanus.
To be fair, that bit is actually true. They didn't have films on it. That's how they
really.
Yeah.
Ben, if I'm thinking about aerodynamics, physics, I don't want to be buying from that person to buy him a plane ticket. I don't want to, do you know what I mean?
I don't
want to be thinking about the fact that most planes actually are suckers. Those idiots like British Airways.
if the weight of the data of Marley and me is going to tip it over the edge.
Yeah.
So it can't make it.
The USB stick with Marley and me on it was too heavy.
I'm not getting on that plane.
Yeah.
We've only got two rules. The second one is enjoy yourself. And the first one is you must have a shit before getting on the plane. Everyone has to. I can't emphasize that enough. You absolutely have to. Oh, God.
Please be advised that family members without boarding passes do not qualify as hand luggage and must be checked in. Thank you.
So then, when we were in Canada, we became aware of the fact that I think actually what had happened was these planes that they'd bought hadn't even turned up. So they'd never got to use them because there was a delay in getting them. And that's why they went under, because they didn't have any planes or something.
I suppose the only way to get the planes there would be by flying them there.
And they can't go that far.
That far.
Have they bought the planes from an uncredited Geordie? Where the planes come
from? They may well have done. Do not trust door-to-door Geordie
aviation salesman.
Aviation salesman.
Anyway, so when we we had this flight booked to go home then, and they said, okay, we're going to honour the flight somehow, and it's going to be from this airport at this time. And then I can't remember quite how, but we became aware of people complaining online about the fact that the plane that they were going back on was like a bad plane. And so I looked into this. There's websites where you can check what plane you're going to be in for your flight in advance, because they have to register them.
And it's form, like a racing horse.
Well, sort of, because this one was built in 1972.
Right.
It was a post plane.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so, okay, you don't mean it wasn't a plane anymore. You mean, okay, it was a...
It was a mail plane.
It was a mail plane.
And it was used for, get this, transporting mail, also sometimes transporting prisoners, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like Con Air.
Yeah.
And it was like, it had formerly been an American Airlines plane, but because it had got too old, it was now being used for these, like, sort of rudimentary crap flights. And I also managed to learn that recently it had done the thing called, I think it's called a heel strike, which is when the back of the plane hits a runway as it takes off.
Oh, my God.
This was all available online, this information.
Or tail strike, I think it's called. Yeah, because there's all these, like, nerdy plane people who, like, are, like, plane, yeah. Like, train spotters for planes. And they sort of, like, follow these planes around and know what they do and all this kind of
stuff. This certainly doesn't sound like a plane that's ever been across the Atlantic, right? This has delivered some birthday cards and some murderers to the Yukon. And that's...
Also, right? A birthday card can take a lot more jiggling about than a human being in terms of, like, how yes. rough that ride's oh,
yeah.
going to be.
Yeah, and the temperatures that it can survive at
yeah.
and the level of oxygen.
It can survive in really low temperatures, paper, can't it? Yeah. That's one of the reasons that paper is a better medium of transport for written messages than a human face. Isn't it?
Just one of them.
Also, I'm picturing this is the kind of plane which has one of those, the way you get on is at the back, there's a huge ramp that lowers down at the back.
So a tank can go on.
So a tank can go on. Yeah. And quite often there'll be a hugely muscly guy having a fight with Tom Cruise on it. And one of them will flap off the edge and sort of... Hang on
and get tangled in some sort of cargo net that's draping exactly. off the
back. One of them getting trapped in a cargo net.
It has a nuclear warhead in it.
And there'll be a point where Tom Cruise just goes off the edge. He's done. The big fat bull guy goes to have a little peek over the edge. What's happened? Yeah. He's not done. Tom Cruise is still hanging on by the net. Grabs him by the ankles and yanks him off.
Tables have turned.
But I suppose that's kind of your in-flight movie, isn't it? Is watching that. And you're all strapped in at the sides, just screaming for the whole journey. That sounds really horrible.
Anyway, you can probably picture this plane, because this is the thing that really concerned me or brought home how old this plane was. It wasn't white. You know how okay. all planes are white, essentially? Yeah. This one was like metallic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
like when it's silver coloured?
Yeah, lovely, yeah.
That's like World War II bomber or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was, my partner, we're really sort of like, do we want to get on this ropey old plane? Like, this is yeah. bad.
The access to ashtrays is superb, but...
you're allowed to light a fire on it. For warmth. In fact, you have to light a fire on it. Or you'll die.
Halfway through the flight, the pilot will be reading out part of the novelization of Starsky and Hutch. Enjoy. So we were really worried and a bit like, should we book another flight? We're like, but they wouldn't put us on a plane where we were all going to die, that, you know, all this kind of stuff. And then actually the ending of the story is, again, opaque. I can't quite remember what happened, but the company then came back to life and the Neo A321 Neo was delivered and we went in it and it was fantastic.
So hang on. Did you have to fly back to Canada, though, in order to benefit from that?
No, while we were in Canada, we thought we were getting this ropey plane and then suddenly the business like found the financing it needed to re-exist. It relaunched, I think, with a new name, but it was the same planes.
And still, for me, that's still not exactly like a really booming high five of like...
But compared to going on the mail
it's
plane...
kind of, yes! The company that we're going to entrust our lives with kind of died in a way, but just survived! Yeah! Let's entrust our lives to that company that nearly massively fucked up and had completely miscalculated its entire business model.
Went bankrupt and it was relocated to a different territory.
Yeah!
Under a new name.
But probably it's just really bad at managing business models, was actually a plane, which is basically petrol, wings, air pressures.
And the cheapest pilots available.
They'll be fine at that, probably. Put it this way, if the business just about survived, then hopefully we'll just about make it over to the Atlantic. Yeah!
Please note that the duty-free labyrinth is currently closed because it is feeding time for the tax minotaur. Thank you.
We have an airline pilot listener, don't we? Because he told us about the time that he ate a three-bean chili whilst driving a plane and was overcome by the spiciness of the meal.
And we also have Jez, the pilot, who I met in Munich.
Ah, yes. Who does he fly for? Did he say?
But I don't know what airline Jez works for. I have no idea.
What vibe did he give off? You can normally tell from the vibe of the, you know, was he giving off sort of BA vibes? Was he giving off Lufthansa vibes?
He cut a nice dash.
Okay.
Now he was a nice looking fellow and he was charming and we had a nice chat. I'm sure Jez could have taken his pick.
Oh, good. Oh yeah.
Nice. Valedictorian at the Academy of Pilots.
I like it when you go to a hotel somewhere and you get in the lift and then some pilots get in because they're staying there. Yeah. And they're wearing their full uniform and their hat and stuff.
They're all dressed up.
Yeah.
It is quite cool, isn't it?
Why do they leave it all on? That's what I don't understand.
You would, wouldn't you, if you had a hat like that?
Just because you can walk into anywhere in town.
Exactly.
Give me the best table.
AAA.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's true. I've got a feeling pilot has become less sexy, hasn't it, since the 60s as a career gradually.
I think so. Well, people in the old days used to like dress up in a suit to get a flight and stuff, didn't they? It was like going to the opera.
Yes, that was the big. Yeah. I seem to remember. Yeah, growing up, that was the hot tip if you want to get an upgrade.
Oh, really?
You go in a suit.
Really?
Urban myth, I think. I don't know if that's true.
There was a period of budget airlines, wasn't there? There was a kind of heyday. There was that the EasyJet guy. What was he called again?
The Greek guy. Yeah,
the Greek guy.
Name?
He was a huge figure.
He was. Yeah. You never see him these days.
No. But there was a big period of airlines with names like Bang, Waz, Wing Bong, Pakachow, Flam, Bloop. Remember? Yeah. Which is quite, which is sort of not what you want from...
And you could fly to Cork for 75p.
Yeah.
Yes.
On Wabadash.
Yeah. I once flew to Milan for 99p, I think.
On Boing. Oh, yeah, we're flying. I actually got a great deal on.
There was a boom of those kind of things.
Yeah.
Fly Baby, BMI Baby. Do you remember BMI Baby?
Oh, yeah.
Which is a name based on the song Be My Baby, right? I mean,
ooh.
Was it a pun on Be My Baby?
I don't know. Body Mass Index.
Body Mass Index, baby. Was that legit? What's that?
Well, was it British Midland or like, I can't remember.
I've got it in my mind that... that EasyJet is a tiny little bit...
Oh, it's above, a cut above.
It's a cut above
totally
Ryanair.
Is.
So I'm a bit like, oh, I'm spoiling myself with some EasyJet.
I think of EasyJet as being quite posh. It's quite nice.
Yes, it's basically the posh one of budget airlines, isn't it?
Yeah, it's good, EasyJet.
Ryanair.
Ryanair's like getting a megabus, but it flies.
There's something about Ryanair that is... It really... It sucks fun and glamour out of the idea of a holiday. It also... Also, travelling, no offence to anyone, but travelling via Luton Airport does the same. I've been in Luton Airport much, we just not even bother with this fucking holiday. Let's just go home, just write the whole thing off.
It's already ruined.
It's already ruined. You know, it really like takes the wind out of your sails going via Luton anywhere for your holiday.
I mean, we've got to be careful slagging off Luton because Mike is kind of a son of Luton. You've got Luton in your past, right?
Have you?
I do. My dad grew up there. I still have an aunt who lives there.
I think that means we're allowed to slag Luton off, actually.
Christmas is in Luton.
I think you seem to be a bit careful, Henry.
Yeah.
You know, means a lot to Mike, that place.
I'm going to say it. Luton is almost sub-Derby.
Oh, my God.
Never been to Derby. I have nothing against Derby. Sorry. It's just a running joke.
But you have been to Luton. Do you think it's bad?
Luton is bad.
But have you been beyond the airport? Have you enjoyed the delights of Luton itself? Downtown Luton. Downtown.
Everyone wants to die downtown. Look at the dead look in their eyes. Downtown.
Lots of places to buy vapes.
Vanilla is one of the vapes you can buy. Strawberry is another favourite vape you can buy. Kumquat is not actually currently available in Luton vape shops.
This is an announcement to all passengers waiting to board at Gate 23 for the Beans Airlines flight to Lukewarm Banter International. Unfortunately, this flight has been delayed as the pilot was catfished. It turns out that he isn't, in fact, in a long-running relationship with Bonnie Tyler. So sorry to him and sorry to all passengers who will have to wait for him to stop crying. Thank you.
Right, time to read your emails.
Let's do it,
please.
When you send an email, you must give thanks to the postmasters that came before.
Good morning, postmaster. Anything for me?
Just some old shit.
When you send an email, this represents progress. Like a robot shoeing a horse.
Give me your horse.
My beautiful horse.
You can email us at 3beansaladpod@gmail.com. A few people emailed us on similar topics this week.
Oh, yeah.
In general, the vibe is that me and Mike deserve a wee bollocking.
Ah, nice.
For calling into question the idea that no one else remembers the McDonald's advert that Henry sang us
to
last week.
All beef patty, special sauce, really? Lettuce, cheese, pickled onion, a sesame seed bun.
Okay. A lot of people were like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's famous, apparently.
Yeah, that was massive.
Well, so I'll accept that bollock. Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
absolutely.
Do we have? Was there any demographic data, Benjamin?
I think it's the older listeners, the more mature.
Oh, fuck you!
To all beef bollocks right into your face.
So anyway, that's a bollocking accepted from me.
Bollocking accepted.
Bollocking accepted.
But Henry's not spared of the bollock.
Uh-huh.
This is from David. Next time he sings that jingle, the McDonald's jingle, stop him when he gets to the pickled onion part and ask him, since when does a Big Mac contain a pickled onion?
That's a great question.
So can you sing it for us again?
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickled onion, in a sesame seed, but a good crack.
That's going to like a knockoff McDonald's where they put a pickled onion.
And I'd be like, is this a knockoff McDonald's? And then she'd start singing like a siren.
Who are be cheese, pickled onion in a sesame seed, man.
The portion of Belgian fries.
Oh, no, I think it's pickles.
It's pickles, comma, onion. Onion.
Yeah. Yes, good. Well done. Yeah, very good point. Mind you, pickled onion in a burger, would that work?
Would be nice, wouldn't it? A sliced pickled onion. Yeah.
I love pickled onions. I eat them raw. I raw dog pickled onions sometimes.
Great. Can I just a little subnote there? I think we're misusing the term raw dog a bit, and it's coming up. It's coming up quite frequently.
Oh no!
It's changed, Mike. What?
It's changed.
We've talked about it in transportation. Has it changed?
Raw dog used to mean unprotected sex.
Yes.
Right.
It has changed.
But people now use it to mean sort of doing something without the accoutrements.
Yeah, but no, you're right. It's a sort of troubling. Phrase, isn't
but it has been so. I've just missed the memo about the repurposing that hasn't reached Exeter.
That probably hasn't reached Exeter so far.
I think it is quite new though. It's like a Gen Z thing.
Is it okay?
They'll talk about raw dogging things, and they don't mean
fucking a jar of pickled onions
without protection.
No. Great.
I'm happy for us to stop saying it. If makes you uncomfortable.
No. I just felt worth clarifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, thank you. I think that was worth doing. Definitely.
So Christian from Perth in Australia.
Hello.
Writes, hello Beans.
Hello,
knowing your collective interest in both random bits of trivia and the future nozzle-based society to which we're all heading, I thought I'd send you this bit of dystopian horror. Aboard His Majesty's £6 billion aircraft carriers, the defenders of the realm, his salty jack-tar sailors are served their breakfast by Scrag.
What?
What the heck is that?
And he sent us a picture of Scrag. Scrag. Scrag is an egg-scrambling droid bot.
Oh my god.
No.
Scrag.
Now you should be able to see an image of that now.
Oh my word.
God, what, served in hot cups of scrambled eggs?
So can you explain what it looks like? It looks like a coffee machine for egg.
It looks like a coffee machine and it's paper cups, your classic Costa-style paper cup, but with steaming hot egg in it. Also, is that supposed to be someone who's in the Navy? He's wearing a Czech shirt. He's next to like a little basket full of bagels and like seeded buns.
Maybe that's the aircraft carrier uniform on the HMS Prince of Wales.
They've not even tried to not make it sound dystopian. Do you know what I mean? Scrag.
It's spelled C-R-A-E-G-G. So that's scrambled and egg mashed together to create a word.
Why not just call it Scrag?
Yeah. Why keep in the A?
Scrag.
Scrag.
It's so dystopian.
Yes, it's Scrag, the egg-scrambling droid bot. I've attached a picture of the monstrosity, and having served as an officer on HMS Queen Elizabeth,
Oh.
I can tell you that the produce is exactly as disgusting as you'd imagine.
It's pity the poor chicken who's trapped in that.
Poor thing. That's a Victoria Cross that chicken should be getting for that work, but they'll probably never be honoured.
I never want to eat a coffee cup full of hot egg.
A hot cup of steaming scraig.
Scraig.
Scraig. Scraig.
It's absolutely it. And that name, it just sounds like a sort of fairy tale monster, doesn't it? From like a Nordic folk story.
Scraig, we'll come and get you. Scraig.
Welcome to our village, but don't stray out at night because you shall meet the Scraig.
And the Scraig will scramble you and put you in a hot cup.
Thank you, Christian. That is horrifying.
Really, really heinous.
But good to know that Her Majesty's, His Majesty's Navy, I should say, sorry. Obviously, they march on their stomachs and they're getting a good cup of hot egg in the morning.
That's the thing. I do think, yeah, if you go for the ship life, I don't think you imagine the catering is going to be like Michelin starred, right?
But no.
Come on, we can try a bit harder than that. For the boys and girls of Royal Navy. Oh, man.
Marcus emails, hello Beans. Hello, Henry's recent rendition of a McDonald's jingle, which only he seemed to have heard, reminded me that I seem to be the only person who can remember McDonald's briefly selling hot dogs in the UK and the McDonald's hot dog advert jingle. I'm emailing in the hope that perhaps Henry could validate my memory or confirm that I am insane. Thank you to the postmasters that came before, Mark.
I've got no memory of this at all. When is this supposed to have happened?
It feels like there are certain sort of sacred areas that McDonald's, I don't know, it feels like there's almost like a law that they don't go in, they don't mess with that, with hot dogs. I don't know. Yeah. It feels like...
Or was this nationwide? Or was this sort of... Where's Marcus from? Was it piloted wherever Marcus...
Marcus hasn't told us where he's from.
He just... Okay. So maybe they just tried it out in Worcester on a rainy weekend and no one talks about it.
I'd be interested to try one because it's interesting. What McDonald's always does is it takes a product and makes a version of it which isn't... like any, you know, which isn't like any other version of that food type. So, like the McDonald's burger, it isn't a burger. I don't know what it is. I like it. I like it every now and then, but it's not a burger. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's not a burger. A burger is two all beef patties, sauce, lettuce, cheese,
a pickled onion.
It's just a new burger. No, but you know, like a Big Mac, like you can't imagine any of those components being sort of sourced separately, then put together to create it. It, you know what I mean? Like you can, a normal burger is, oh, there's some buns, there's some meat, they put some lettuce in, this has happened, there's an onion. Like a Big Mac is just this thing that, you know, and their fries are the same. They're almost like abstracted from reality. They're a bit platonic almost. Do you know what I mean? It's like kind of, it's not really, how you could never make a Big Mac at home. You could never fucking make a Big Mac at home. And the closest I've ever got to that was I once bought a Big Mac, took it home. Mm-hmm. It had gone cold. I didn't have a microwave at the time, so I put it in the oven.
And it disappeared.
And then I looked at photographs of myself as a child, and I was holding it. It had travelled into my past and made decisions about my future.
It's the safest place to hide its secrets.
No, but it created the worst smell. A smell I can't describe to this day. Never put a Big Mac in the oven because it was intersecting with real cooking implements. I think you could probably microwave it. But you don't put it in an oven, don't put it in a toaster.
It's not that kind of heat, is it? It doesn't take that kind of heat. It's some kind of...
It's not temperature heat. It's molecular heat.
Yeah.
that creates a Big Mac. So what I'm saying is, because also their fries don't really have a relationship with the potato. Do you mean like, it's all abstracted? Yeah, you with me?
I do know.
I know what you mean.
Take a potato and try and make what those things are out of a potato. Good luck. Yeah. So what they would have done with a hot dog, I'd be interested, because we know for sure is it wouldn't have any relationship with a hot dog, as we know. It would be this new category that they've created.
Yes, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah.
Scraig.
Marcus, your Scraig is in the post. Every correspondent this week gets a Scraig.
And is that a Scraig machine or a Scraig?
A cup of Scraig.
A hot cup of Scraig. A dangerously hot cup of Scraig.
Yeah, you'll get a drive-by cup of Scraig. It'll come past your house at some point in the next week.
Yeah.
Hopefully just before the window cleaner comes.
And it'd be hard to know how many eggs are in any given Scraig, because there's so much egg intermingling, isn't there, in the system?
Maybe your house has been Scraigged, Ben.
It could be, then.
Maybe my house has been Scraigged.
You might be in a Scraig testing zone.
Yeah. You could be in a Scraiglu. You could be in a protein-rich Scraiglu. you may worry about a Scraig is that obviously any machine will eventually learn love. It'll fall in love with a seaman or a seawoman.
Yeah.
They'll have an affair. But it'll have to. It'll only be able to express love through the medium of hot egg.
Yeah.
So hot egg spraying. It'll just be spraying a hot egg on your face, because that's the only way it can express love.
While it's trying to say its vows.
Yeah, exactly.
It's quite hard to tell the difference between love and, for example, anger from a scrag, isn't it?
It is. Because
anger will similarly be hot egg.
I think anger will be slightly hotter egg.
Right, okay.
Love will probably be slightly runnier setting.
Love will be a bit runnier. Mm. What are the other emotions?
Fear.
Fear will be brown scrag.
Oh god! Imagine going there for breakfast and the scrag comes out brown.
Oh, it's every man to his station at that point, isn't it? It's battle stations.
Yeah. Also, but imagine you come to the scrag machine, you wake up next to the scrag machine, there's someone else's lipstick on its nozzle. You've been scragging directly into the mouth of my best friend.
You've got to imagine, haven't you, that when they announced Top Gun Maverick, which of course is partly set on an aircraft carrier. Yeah. The Scrag Corporation must have tried to put a lot of money into getting Scrag featured in the movie.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they only got as far as implicit Scrags. I mean, we knew that there were Scrags going on.
You could tell that Scrag was happening.
They'd obviously... I mean, all of those pilots were full of Scrag, because you could tell.
Yeah, they probably had a mini Scrag on their jets, I expect. For the long-haul flights.
But they also... Because they all had the Scrag sweats, didn't they? There's a slightly kind
unique,
of...
unique, regardless of the temperature outside.
Slightly...
Constant.
And there's a kind of glassy-eyed look as well you get after a big cup of Scrag. You can see that on their face. Yeah.
And, of course, all your teeth fall out. Yeah. So there's a few little signs.
Well, that's why a lot of them fly alone, isn't it? Because of the old Scrag guffs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't have a copilot. Not nice.
That's why you can never put a Scrag machine on a submarine. That's what they say, isn't it?
Exactly, no. No, this is surface fleet only, guys. Okay,
yeah, but it's because the pressure changes so much when you go down that the valves would completely scrag the entire ocean potentially. We'd scrag the sea. The entire sea would be a huge scrambled scrag. Which obviously the sea life will love for a bit.
We're then in the scrag age, aren't we?
We're then in the scrag age. And then the fact that you married a Scrag machine may mean people aren't laughing at you quite so much. Mm. Still laughing at you quite a lot, though. Because you married to a Scrag machine. But the wedding, it'd be a good wedding, wouldn't it? Because you'd have the Scrag machine and then all their relatives, which would be ancestrally machines that have led to the Scrag. So toasters, microwaves, Gatling guns.
On one side of the aisle.
Yeah. On one side of the aisle.
On the other side of the aisle, your horrified family.
Yeah. And the... The ones that haven't disowned you. But the Scrag speeches as well, what would that be like? That would again be just shooting hot egg over the
father of the Scrag.
Over the congregation.
Father just a sort of moving speech from a milking machine or something.
Yeah. The father of the Scrag would be crying.
Crying tears of Scrag.
Crying Scrag tears.
From its nozzle.
Then there'd be the brother of the Scrag with some ribald stories about how in the old days they used to...
Pushing it a bit too far. Yeah.
They used to go to strip bars.
His grandma doesn't want to hear any of this.
His grandmother, the toaster, she's turned herself up to 11. She's so angry. She's got hot. She's got all hot and angry, the toaster. But, of course, a lot of those young able-bodied seamen and seawomen who are there, the friends, they're hoping that they think it's a good chance to get your...
Might fuck a soda stream.
It's a good chance, you might.
Finally, email from Nick in Buckinghamshire. Dear Beans. Yeah.
Hello, Nick.
Hi, Nick.
This is bollocking for Henry.
Oh. Mm. Shame. I didn't normally do this. Mm. Bollock back.
If you'll bollock me, then I'll bollock you. Bollock back.
So who are you bollocking? Nick?
or Buckinghamshire?
No, I'm taking a bloody risk. I'm putting everything on the line here.
Okay.
I'm bollocking back already.
Whoa.
What's
the basis of your...
I've already committed to the bollock back. There's nothing I can do now. I can't reverse the process. The bollock back has begun.
Okay, well, let's hear his bollock, and then you have to bollock him back, okay?
You might be bollock-rupt by the end of this.
I might be completely bollock-rupt. I might be borrowing bollocks off you guys, just to keep myself afloat.
So Nick says, I was just enjoying the lukewarm banter seamlessly interweaving multi-genitalian alien bar drinkers and the Civil War.
Sorry. Mm-hmm.
That was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
However, Henry referred to the said alien, I think we called it an alien brothel, actually, as being in the future. Mm. Whereas any vaguely sentient organism would know that the Star Wars story opens very clearly as being set a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Thank God I'm safe. I thought I was worried for a minute there. Yeah, it was set a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Mm-hmm. But on whose terms? On that galaxy's terms? Does that galaxy's lifespan coincide with ours? So that a long time ago there is a long time ago here? I doubt it. It's a long time ago in that galaxy. Different galaxies are different time spans, different time schedules. Okay, thank you. So move on to the the bit where we do the set song at the end. Thank you.
But now you have to...
Song at the end, thank you. No, what?
But, okay, you've reflected that bollock. That's fine. I'm on your side for that one. But you know, you did promise that you'd now bollock Nick. So you have to know bollock Nick.
Oh, did I?
Yeah, you said you'd bollock back.
Okay. Your DIY show is shit, mate.
You're imagining it's Nick Knowles?
It's just assuming that he's got a YouTube channel with a DIY show.
It's that, and that. I mean,
it's plausible. Nick from Buckinghamshire. I mean, it's got all the hallmarks.
Yeah.
Of a DIY YouTuber.
I'm throwing the dice on that being Nick Knowles.
You're really doing some big gambling, aren't you?
Yeah.
Wow. For those who don't know, Nick Knowles is Britain's premier television presenter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
national treasure.
National treasure and DIY expert. Mm-hmm.
Thank you to everyone who signed up on our Patreon.
Thank you.
Patreon.com/3beansalad is the place to go. There are various tiers you can sign up at. You can get our bonus episodes, which include our film review episodes. I've recently edited the most recent one. Mm. We didn't do a great job of explaining the films we were talking about.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's not what it's about.
That's not what it's about, though.
So if you want to listen to three men talk about a film, but you don't know what the film is.
Yeah. Then I would probably check yourself into NE. Because there's something very wrong with you.
Anyway, it's all good fun. There are different tiers you can sign up at. And if you sign up at the Sean Bean tier, you get a shout out from Mike
from the Sean Bean Lounge.
Mm-hmm. You were there all last week, weren't you?
The whole week this time, yeah.
Yeah, because they were putting in they were installing a new obscene ceiling, weren't they?
They were. Thank you, Henry. And here's my report.
It was installing an obscene ceiling week last week at the Sean Bean Lounge. To determine which ceiling would be rendered obscene, Joan Beek, Dan Hill, Ty Wilson, Louisa, Bruno Lordow and Paula Robinson were given a 10-minute head start, and then Jack Nemeth, Rory, Caroline Knights, Devereaux O'Brien, Alex Pitsolos and Karen Graves and her dog Shadow went on the hunt armed with tranquilizer dart blowpipes and launchable glue. The room in which the last person was incapacitated would have its ceiling be obscened with me as adjudicator. But not me, me another me as in someone else called me. And so it was that Bruno was tranquilised in the Sean Bean Library by Shadow with a canine-adapted Beretta. The library was, of course, originally founded by Vicky, happy bean birthday once again, Lee, consecrated by Colin Broadbent, desecrated by Dave McPseudonym, refurbished by Lydia Smith, defurbished by Noah, subjected to dirty protest by Simon Norton, and used by Sam Hopkins to test patio cleaning equipment. These noble souls formed the library committee, who have gone on to fill the library with books that have been published by, about, or despite Sean Bean, plus one collection of bawdy cartoons by Owen Anderson and Jimmy Jones. These cartoons were used as inspiration for the design of the obscene ceiling. For example, a scene depicting the International Monetary Fund's board of directors engaged in a bacchanalian bareback barbecue was turned into a tasteless fresco by Tam Lines and Stephen Rhodes, using Matthew Gray, Cormac and Bristol, Adam Pope and Tobias Anderson as life models. This was stuck to the ceiling by Patrick Flynn, using Luke, Hannah, Holly and Ash Charman as human blue tack. Ellie McTimony and Charlie Toogood set about plastering over the rest of the previously only salacious ceiling, but were urged to also do this obscenely by Will Cooper, Bernadette Hickey and Chris Hutchins Joss. They were unsure how to proceed, so Lewis W., Ben Farrell and Alex Hum demonstrated what they called plastering Vegas style on Alex Lee and Richard Lee Thomas, or Lee Thomas, who both agreed afterwards that they'd never be able to look stucco in the eye again. Rebecca Joy Smith, Christian Peacock and Henry Johnston then opened an obscene confession old-fashioned inspiration circle, which they claimed was confidential but did record in order to harvest further material for the ceiling. Anna Bishop, Ryan Chanter, Chris and Alice all had eye-watering anecdotes from their gap years in Derby, while Danny McIntyre and Nixter's tales of a standard Wednesday in the eastern panhandle of West Virginia would have made a deep-sea erotic tickler blush. Hausner, James, Jack Mowbray and Dave Troman's scatological offerings were just the right side of the line, as were suggestions by Ruth, Matthew Payne, Dave Boyle Sequeira and Joe Brett, based on their knowledge of multi-protagonist orifice parkour. Ewan West, Alex Walker, Sally Davies and Daniel South donned obscene plaster decorator costumes, homemade by Ben Price and Alistair Patrick, and with a nod to 1930s Berlin, and brought all of this to life on the ceiling with gypsum and paint. Crossing the line and not having their ideas realised were Alid Morgan, Joe Simpkins, Kirsten Wood and Nick Forsey, who broke NDAs to share unconfirmed obscene Sean Bean rumours. They were all re-NDA'd by Eric Frieden, legally gagged by Rob Taylor, physically gagged by Kerry Moyles, encased in ice by Earl Hatchback, driven to Lille by Camilla Edwards and stored in Jack Glover's family getaway meat locker by Alex Conway. To add an obscene note to proceedings, the ceiling was guff-dried by Will Beckinsale and Alistair Block. The ceiling was officially declared open by Alex Aitken and then, alongside the library in its entirety, permanently closed by CeeLo for public health reasons, as a single glance at the finished product would render the viewer incapable of ever cultivating a fulfilling carnal life. Thanks all.
Okay, let's finish off the show with a version of our theme tune sent in by one of you, and this is from Barney.
Thanks, Barney.
Barney writes, "Hi Beans, I recently bought a sailboat." Well, I know what you need to be installing on that sailboat, Barney, for your breakfast. I've recently bought a sailboat and I'm relatively new to the sailing scene. I recorded this version of your bean theme a while ago when I made my first voyage around Scotland's west coast.
Wow.
I was tucked in a cosy little bay where, off to starboard, the sun gently set behind the diving gannets, hunting for their last snack of the day.
Sounds lovely.
So yeah, he's recorded this whilst on the boat.
Oh, lovely. Thanks.
Wonderful. Thank you very much indeed. And thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Thank God for the optimistic chord at the end, because it was hauntingly lonely was stuff before then, wasn't it?
He really needed a hot cup of Scrag there, didn't he?
He needed someone to ask him inside to their home and give him a cuddle and a warm hot cup of Scrag.
A warm Scrag, yeah.
Okay, look after yourself, aren't you?
Yeah.
And that's the end of the season, whatever we call them.
Yes, have a lovely break. We'll be back in November, won't we, for the Christmas run-up?
Nope.
We're back in December
for the Christmas run-up. Yeah, we'll see you in December.
Bye, cheerio. Bye.